right, folks, let's grab our Bible this morning and let's go ahead and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We are going to take just a short break from our study through Ephesians, probably for this week. And next week I won't be here, so Brother Kurt and Brother Andrew will be preaching. So they'll be preaching whatever God laid on their heart. So just for the next couple of weeks, we're just going to have a break from Ephesians. But I thought it'd be a good opportunity to share with you a thought out of 2 Timothy chapter 2. I was just as I usually do during the first couple of days of the week, I pray and I just seek the Lord's wisdom in what He would have me to share with the church. And knowing that we were going to watch The Forge this afternoon, I thought I'd do something which I haven't done before, and I'm gonna preach for you this morning the principle of the movie. So what I want to do is I want to give you the theology, the doctrine which this movie is based on. A lot of the time what happens is we'll watch a Christian movie and we'll see it and we'll get entertained and we'll think and we lose the connection between the principle behind the movie and the scripture. And that's what I want to share with you this morning, is what this Christian film is based on. It's based on Bible. Folks, look, it's not usually what I do, and I come to realize this morning that there are no such things as coincidences in the Christian life. There are a bunch of you guys that are going through some things at the moment, and this will help you. What happens, folks, is when we go through stuff in life, when things go well, we're okay, and we sort of have this middle ground focus where we focus on, you know, on serving the Lord and walking with the Lord, and we have this outward perspective, and we also at the same time, and we keep the balance, we have this inward focus, and everything's going well. But when we hit times of trial, and when we hit times of difficulties and times of doubt and times of just hardness, there is a danger in the Christian life where that balance gets all messed up, and we all of a sudden we get inward focused. All right, and it's about my problem and my trials and my difficulty, and folks, it's natural that it consumes our thinking, and it's natural that it consumes, my sleep, and we run the danger of life being all about us, and knowing that that a bunch of us are going through some of these things, I want to help. I want to preach this to you because this is going to help you. This is going to help you deal with that, because the thing that I believe that God gives us to minister, to help us in the times of difficulty and health problems and work problems and relationship problems, is to keep the balance of being outward focused. Not to undo the balance and be all inward focused, but still acknowledge the issues that I have and still minister to my issues and my problems and my difficulties, but make sure that we keep the balance of our life being outward focused. Okay? So if you're going through some things this morning, this is going to help you. All right? Whatever it is that you're going through, this is going to help you. Take particular note of the titles of each. I've only got 4 points, but take particular notice of the titles of the 4 points, all right? So, again, if you have your Bibles, let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're only going to read the one verse this morning, but again, it's one of the most important verses in the New Testament when it comes to especially to the future of the church. So before we read it, let me set the scene for you once again. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, Paul is writing this. Paul is an old man now. Paul is writing this. He's sitting in a Roman prison. Understand, church, this is not the Paul of Acts chapter 13 launching out into some missionary journey with perceivably what he thinks is the rest of his ministry life in front of him. This is not the Paul that's writing this. This is not the Paul standing before kings and governors with the zeal of God and the enthusiasm that I am immortal until God decides otherwise. This is not that Paul. This is not the Paul that is planting churches across the Roman Empire. What we're listening to this morning is an old soldier of the cross drawing to the finish line of his race. And in chapter 4, he will say things like, "I am now ready to be offered." He knows that his race is almost over, church. He knows that his execution is coming. He knows that soon he will be standing in front of the Lord Jesus Christ and he's going to see him as he is. And listen, folks, if you knew that your time was short, well, what would you write about? What would be on your heart? Can I ask you this morning, what would be your final concern? See here, folks, Paul isn't worried about his ministry logistics. He's not worried about what's going to happen to the ministry after he has departed. He isn't worried about the programs. He isn't worried about the budgets. He isn't worried about, who's going to... He's not worried about any of that. He's worried about truth being passed to the next generation. Because listen, folks, Christianity is always one generation away from disaster if God's people fail to pass on what they have themselves received. And so we read in the Bible in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, he says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to who? To faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you this morning for your word. And we pray this morning, Lord, that you'd help us to understand it. Lord, we pray that you would challenge us where we need to be challenged. Father, I pray that you would encourage us where we need to be encouraging. And help us to see, Lord, our responsibility to the next generation. Help us to see the need, Lord, to pass on the richness of everything that you have given us to the next ones coming behind us, Father God. Help us to have ears to hear what the Spirit saith this morning. We thank you. We love you. Lord, we pray that you have your will and your way with this message. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said. Now, church, I want you to notice something this morning. That in that verse, there are actually four generations sitting inside that one verse. We have Paul, and we have Timothy, and we have these faithful men, and then we have others also. We have one man teaching another man, who teaches another man, who teaches another man. Guys, that has been God's plan. That is God's plan. And can I say right at the beginning, God's plan has never changed. Methods change. Technology changes. Locations change. Culture changes, amen? But God's method for passing truth from one generation to the next has always been this thing that we call discipleship. And it's a lot broader than you and I, we may think. Discipleship is a lot broader than you sitting down with someone going through the A to Z and teaching them what the Bible says about something. It's a lot broader, it's a lot deeper, it's a lot wider than that. But it is about one believer investing in another believer's life. One Christian helping another Christian to grow. One generation teaching the next generation. And let me tell you this morning, hand on heart, folks, that's becoming a forgotten ministry in many churches today. You see, folks, we've got more podcasts than ever before. I have nothing against podcasts. We have more books than ever before. I have nothing against good Christian books, amen? We have available to us more preaching than ever before. I have nothing against good, solid, passionate Bible preaching. We have more Bible resources than ever before. And yet somehow, we have fewer people than ever before intentionally helping other believers to grow. So I want us to look at this verse under four simple thoughts this morning, with the thought that we are going, you know, with this thought that we're going to see this very scriptural principle played out in our movie this afternoon. So let me give you four simple thoughts. Write these down if you can, they're going to help you. Point number one, folks, understand, somebody, someone taught you. Paul says in our verse in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, and the things that thou hast heard of me. Understand, Timothy was a great man. But Timothy didn't arrive where he was by accident, church. God's plan was not for him, once he was saved, to be left to his own devices. And somebody also understood God's plan and did something about this young man. Somebody invested in him. And somebody taught him. And somebody spent time with him. Somebody poured truth into young Timothy's life. And that somebody was Paul, the Apostle Paul. Now, certainly Timothy had a godly mother. I appreciate the fact that Timothy had a godly grandmother. I mean, praise the Lord for Lois and Eunice, amen? Thank God for parents and grandparents who teach the children, thus saith the Lord. Praise God for parents who invest into their children's lives and grandparents who invest into their grandchildren's lives and teach them, this is what God says, sweetheart. But Paul, here, he takes Timothy under his wing and he disciples him. Disciples him. Paul traveled with Timothy. He taught him. Paul corrected Timothy. Paul encouraged him. Paul showed a young Timothy how ministry actually worked. He didn't just give Timothy information, church. He gave him his own personal life. Look at what Paul wrote by the inspiration of the Spirit of God in Philippians 4:9. He says to him, those things which you have both learned and received and heard of me and seen in me do. Do you see the difference? Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen. That's a key word there. Seen in me. Those things you ought to do. Now think about that with me for just a moment. Paul didn't say to Timothy, listen, you just got to listen to me. No. He said, by the inspiration of the Spirit of God, he said, Timothy, watch. He said, Timothy, you need to watch me. You know what that is, folks? That's discipleship. That's not just teaching truth. Teaching truth has also got to be accompanied by living the truth. It's not just somebody telling somebody what to do. It's showing them what to do. Showing them what to do. Now, church, let's stop for a moment and let's just to think about our own life. Who taught you? Who led you to Christ? Who taught you how to read your Bible? Who showed you how to pray? Who answered your questions? Folks, who encouraged you when you were struggling? Who helped you to grow? For some of you, you know, it was a parent. Praise the Lord. For some of you, it may have been a Sunday school teacher. For some of you, it was a pastor. For some of you, it may have been just a faithful church member. But here's the point, folks. None of us got here alone. Biblical Christianity is not a lone wolf operation, folks. Every single one of us is standing on the shoulders of people who invested in us, all of us. And if you're saved today, it's because someone obeyed that still small voice and did what God asked them to do. Listen, somebody helped you. I guarantee you, folks, somebody prayed for you. Somebody taught you. Somebody cared enough to invest into your life. I think about Samuel. You know, you read the Bible, you read the Old Testament. Folks, Samuel didn't just appear one day as a great prophet. You know, even with all his faults, and folks, Eli had many, God used Eli to help Samuel understand the voice of God. I think about Joshua. Joshua didn't just wake up one morning ready to be one of the greatest generals and leader that Israel ever had. He spent years watching Moses. He spent years learning from Moses, following Moses. I think about Elisha. For years he followed Elijah. Now, Elisha observed him and served with him and learned from him. Folks, do we start to see a pattern here? God often grows people through people. Now, ultimately, obviously, our teacher is the Holy Spirit of God. We understand that. But God repeatedly uses human instruments in that process. And folks, and listen, when we talk about discipleship and, you know, and God growing people through people, here's what concerns me. Is that we live in a generation that values independence. People want to figure out everything for themselves. People don't want accountability. People don't want correction. People don't really want anybody speaking into their lives. Folks, listen, we, you and I, as God's children, we should have a different mindset when it comes to this. Spiritual growth requires humility and it requires a teachability. It requires me to put myself under the teaching of people that God has placed in my life to disciple me. That is how spiritual growth happens. And here, Timothy was willing to learn. And because he was willing to learn, God was able to use him. So let me ask you something this morning, my dear church. Listen, are you still teachable? Do you still come to church expecting God to teach you something? Do you still open your Bible with a desire to learn something from the Word of God? Something, show me, you know, one of the greatest things you can pray before you open the Word of God as you sit down in your quiet time, as you come to church, whenever you open up, is what David prayed. Lord, show me wondrous things out of thy Word. I want to learn. Do we still come to church, to our quiet time, with that teachable mentality? Be careful, church. Be careful thinking up here, oh, let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Oh, I've heard that already. I know that passage. There's nothing new under the sun. What's he going to say? Be careful with that. Be careful. I pray that you never walk your Christian life with that mentality that you think you reached the point where you think you've got it all figured out, folks. One of the most dangerous places that a Christian can get is the place where they stop learning. Because when you stop learning, all you do is stop growing. Listen, pastors are not exempt, folks. I teach Bible college on a Tuesday night. And we were going through, I'm teaching the life of Christ. And we're going through one of the second last lessons. We're going through the Passover. And I'm always on my toes, man, because when you stand before 18 mature students, they ask questions, okay? They ask some curly ones. And I had this man put up his hand and say to me, Pastor, we're talking about the Passover and how the Lord Jesus Christ instituted that and you know, he taught the elements. I said, he goes, do you think, right? Do you think that the Lord Jesus Christ observed the Old Testament Passover that night? And all of a sudden, I had this realization that I didn't know. Now, I had my inclination, be careful with your perceptions, right? I said to him, look, the reality is I think not. I mean, he was instituted the New Testament, the Lord's Supper, and he had the unleavened bread, and he had the fruit of the vine, and he was teaching them the, you know, what the church is going to be doing. These are the leaders of the future church, and they're going to go out. And I said to him, look, I don't think that he would have partaken. And he goes, okay. And we kept, and the thing is, it got to me. I said, you're there, and you're lecturing, you're teaching Bible, and you're not sure. So I went and I did a bit of what? Studying. And lo and behold, you know what? Don't tell my wife this. Please don't tell my wife this. I was wrong. I was wrong, Brother Kurt. The Bible tells us in the Gospels that Jesus approached his disciples and said to them, I desire to observe this Passover, I desire to eat this Passover with you. The Bible tells us that. Now, the disciples had no idea what was coming about instituting the Lord's table. And so Jesus, when he told them to go and prepare for the Passover, they went and prepared for the Old Testament Passover. And they had the souvlaki and the tabbouleh and the unleavened bread. No, they didn't. They had the roast lamb, all right? It's not a Lebo gospel, all right? It's just a gospel, right? And then they prepared the Old Testament Passover. And when he went up there into that upper room, he was observing the Old Testament Passover. That was they had to observe that with the staff in their hand and the feet shod with the shoes, celebrating the deliverance of God's people from Egypt. And then Jesus used that opportunity to teach them about what the Lord's table was going to be like from now on. And that, I believe, was the last legitimate Passover that those guys that formed the local New Testament church ever observed. My preconceptions were wrong, folks. And so the following week, I went and I said, brother, I said, you know what? I was wrong. This is why I was wrong. Because the Bible says, folks, we have to have a willingness to learn. None of us have arrived. Your pastor definitely hasn't arrived. You haven't arrived. None of us have arrived. We need to keep that teachability. We need to keep that soft heart for the Spirit of God to tell us. I don't mind if you disagree with something that I say, if you disagree with doctrine, but make sure that your disagreement is based on the Word of God. Understand, we haven't got it all figured out. And if you think you have got it all figured out, let me say you're in a dangerous place, as we just said, because you have stopped growing. We must remain teachable ourselves. Somebody taught you, and let's praise the Lord that someone taught you. Point number two. Somebody must be able to trust you. Somebody must be able to trust you. Notice what Paul says to Timothy in the text. The same commit thou to who? Faithful man. The same commit thou. There was this level of trust that all that Paul had poured into Timothy, that Timothy was going to commit to others, to faithful men. Paul trusted Timothy. Listen, somebody has to trust you with what God has given you. The word commit means to entrust something valuable to somebody else's care. Paul is saying, Timothy, what I have given you, I want you to give to somebody else. But not just anybody, folks. Who? Faithful men. You notice? Not talented men. Not popular men. Not charismatic men. Not naturally gifted men. What was the qualifier there? Faithful men. You know, that's interesting to me because most of us would probably choose talent first. This has reshaped from the very beginning of my ministry who you invest in. God chose faithfulness first. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Not successful, faithful. Not impressive, faithful. Not famous, what? Faithful. Faithful men. God can use faithful people, folks. Let's understand that God can use faithful people above the gifted and the talented and the famous and all that stuff. God is looking for faithful people. Again, you know, I think about Joshua. Joshua was not a flashy leader by any stretch of the imagination. When you read through the book of Exodus and the book of Numbers, Moses is the man that everybody notices. Moses is the man, if you want to put it that way. But you know who you always find there in the fine print? Joshua. Joshua's there. He's serving and he's following and he's learning and he's just there being faithful. Faithful man. When Moses went up to the mountain, Joshua went with him. When Israel rebelled, Joshua remained faithful. When everybody else saw the giants, Joshua saw God. And because he was faithful, God entrusted Joshua with leadership. And church, here's a simple truth. Before God gives you greater responsibility, he watches what you do with the responsibility you already have. Why would God grow your spirituality if you're doing nothing with what he has given you already? The greatest way to grow spiritually in your Christian life is go out there and do something with what you have. Can God trust you, folks? Can God trust you with truth? Can God trust you with influence? Can God trust you with ministry? My goodness, listen, can God trust you with people? Because discipleship requires faithful people. Paul wasn't looking for someone who had all the answers, church. He wasn't looking for somebody who was slick. He was looking for somebody who would stay the course. He was looking for somebody who, in the midst of the difficulty and the hardships and the trials and the temptations and the problems, would stay on course with what God had for them. Faithful men. Faithful women. Faithful people. That's what God's looking for. Let's be honest this morning, folks. A lot of people start really, really well. But the reality is not everybody finishes well. A lot of people are excited for a month, excited for 6 months, they're excited for a year, they maybe even be excited for a few years, and then life gets hard. The problems come. The discouragement comes. The health problems arise. The opposition comes, and the first thing they do is they disappear. They take off. But faithful people keep going. I wonder if this sounds familiar, they press on. They press on. Faithful people show up. Faithful people stay in the fight. Faithful people keep serving. Faithful people keep praying. Faithful people keep going. Praise the Lord for Lighthouse Baptist Church's faithful people. There are a whole bunch of you that I know that come what may, you know what? You're just going to be here. You're going to serve. You're going to give. You're going to do what you need to do. You're just faithful people. Despite what is going on in your life, that is the kind of people God is looking for, folks. God wants faithful people. You know what every church needs? Faithful people. We've got enough superstars, folks. We need faithful people. We need the kind of people that when something needs to be done, they're there. When ministry gets hard, they're still there. When nobody notices, they're still there. When nobody thanks them, they're still there. Faithful. And can I say this morning? One reason discipleship struggles today is because people are looking for quick results. They're looking for the easy road. They're looking for the cheat sheets of spiritual spirituality and ministry? What's a quick way? I don't want to read the book. Just give me the outline. But let me tell you, folks, you know what? Discipleship is slow. Jesus spent 3.5 years investing in these 12 guys. Paul spent years investing into Timothy's life. Spiritual growth takes time. Faithfulness takes time. Dare I say, trust takes time. And if we're going to disciple others, we need to be the kind of people God can trust with that responsibility. Somebody taught you. Now somebody must be able to trust you. Leads us to point number 3. Folks, somebody needs you. Stay the course. Somebody needs you. What did Paul say to Timothy? The same commit thou to faithful men. Paul is telling Timothy to intentionally invest in others. Not accidentally, not occasionally, intentionally. Now think about that for just a second. Paul could have said, you know, Timothy, you just need to keep learning. Instead he says, you know what, Timothy, it's time. It's time to start teaching. Why? Because Christianity was never designed to stop with us, folks. Every single one of you needs to have a ministry of teaching. What God has given you, you, my friends, need to pass it on to the next generation, to somebody. Because your Christianity was never meant to end with you. Truth is meant to flow through us, not simply to us. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians 2. 1 Thessalonians 2, let's look at verse number 8. I love what Paul says here to the church in Thessalonica. This is what Paul's idea of discipleship was, giving. Giving what? Let's have a look at it. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse number 8. He says to them, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own what? Our own souls. It wasn't just, Paul wasn't to the Thessalonians saying, listen, your discipleship, my discipleship of you doesn't involve just me giving you the truth and the gospel. It is, I want to impart to you my very own soul. They needed him. They didn't need just what he knew, they needed him. That is discipleship, church. It's not just giving information, it is giving yourself, sharing your life, investing in people. And that's exactly what Jesus did. Folks, Jesus didn't just preach messages, folks. He walked with his disciples. He traveled with them. He ate with them. He prayed with them. He corrected them and he encouraged them and he taught them and he invested in them. Now, church, here's the question this morning. Who are you investing in? Who are you helping to grow? Who are you encouraging? Who are you teaching, folks? Can I ask you, who are you praying for? Who are you helping to take the next step in their Christian life? Because somebody needs that from you. There are young Christians who need mature believers, folks. There are new believers who need guidance and a word of encouragement. There are struggling saints who need to be encouraged by other saints. We have children who need examples. There are teachers who need direction. There are young families who need wisdom. And God has placed people around us for that reason. Why has God brought the people into your life that He has brought? You know, again, I think about Elijah and Elisha. You read the stories there with both of these guys. Elisha hung around Elijah like a bad smell for years, folks. And when Elijah was taken home, Elisha was ready to continue the work. Why? Because somebody invested in him. But church, imagine if Elijah had never ever took time to speak into Elisha's life. What would have happened if Moses never ever took time and invested into Joshua's life? What would have happened if Paul didn't give two hoots about investing into Timothy's life? Even worse, think about this. What would have happened if Barnabas had never invested into Paul's life? Folks, the impact would have been enormous. Can I tell you something? That principle still applies today. Still. One conversation, one invitation, one Bible study, one, come over, let's have a cup of coffee, let's talk about the Bible. One act of encouragement. One prayer for a brother or sister before the throne of grace. One friendship. God can use those things to change the direction of somebody's life. What you think doesn't matter could be just the catalyst that God is looking from you to change somebody's direction, folks. That is why a single little blue card that we're writing in there, in the backyard, in the back foyer there, it matters. Because we have no idea what God can do with that. Don't underestimate the power of investing your God-given time into people. Somebody needs you. And not because you're perfect, not because you're God's gift to Christianity, not because you know everything, but because God wants to use you in somebody else's life. Pastor, how do I know if God wants to use me in somebody else's life? Folks, if you're saved and you're alive, God wants to use you in someone else's life. That is the will of God for every believer. So that brings me to the last point, final truth, point number four. Somebody is depending on you. Somebody, my dear church, is depending on you. There is someone out there, there is someone in here that God wants you to minister to. And listen, it's not going to be my job. It's not going to be Kurt's job. It's not going to be Andrew's job. It's not going to be Wanto's job. It's not going to be Morris's job. It's going to be your job. There is someone that is depending on you and you alone. Paul says to him, who shall be able to teach others also. That's the fourth generation down from Paul. This is where that whole verse comes together, church. Paul teaches Timothy. Timothy teaches faithful men, and faithful men teach others also. The truth keeps moving forward. The gospel keeps moving forward. The church keeps moving forward. Now, here's what I want you to see. Those last three words are incredibly important. Others. Others also. Folks, because discipleship is not addition, discipleship is multiplication. Paul wasn't thinking about just one generation. He was thinking about future generations. Paul here is thinking beyond Timothy. He's thinking beyond the faithful men. He's thinking about people that he would never get to meet. People who would come later. People who would hear the gospel because somebody remained faithful. Think about the disciples with me for just a moment. When Jesus ascended back to heaven, folks, there was only a handful of believers. Dare I say, the Bible tells us at his last preaching service, Jesus preached some hard truth, and the Bible tells us that many of them left. Many of them departed, walked with him no more. Folks, when Jesus, after the resurrection, there was only a handful of believers. How many? Well, we don't really know. Less than 500, I would say. It's just my opinion. Yet those believers, the Bible tells us, if you believe the word of God, amen, that those believers turned the world what? Upside down. Why? Because those handful of believers reproduced themselves. They multiplied their faith. They multiplied themselves. They made disciples who made disciples who made disciples. And here we are, folks, 2,000 years later, because that process has never, ever stopped. Who led you to the Lord? Do you see the face? Who led them to the Lord? Who led them to the Lord? Who led someone to the Lord? Who led some? It never stopped. I mean, have you ever really thought about that? Somewhere down through history, somebody taught somebody who taught somebody who taught somebody who eventually taught you, who eventually shared with you. The gospel reached you because 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, works. You're here because somebody was faithful. You're saved because somebody was faithful. You know the scriptures because somebody was faithful. And now future generations are depending on us, folks. The children in our church are depending on us. That's why we have ladies that go next door and they minister to the kids, because those kids are depending on us. The teenagers in our church are depending on us. The young adults in our church are depending on us. The next generation is depending on us to pass on what we have received. Not water it down to some internet preacher, man. To some podcast. Not compromise it to a few times a week on something that I can download from the internet. Not to hide it, not to neglect it. We have to pass it on. Churches don't stay strong accidentally, folks. Truth doesn't survive accidentally. It survives because faithful believers intentionally pass it on to the next generation. That's exactly what Paul is telling Timothy right here. Guys, we need to pass on what God has given us. We need to pass that on to others, who they themselves are going to pass on to others, who they themselves are going to pass on to others. I don't know what the future holds, folks. I don't know when the Lord is coming back. I dare say it's not long, but I don't know. I pray. You know, Peter and Sophia just had baby George. I pray that God's will is, you know, and George is 50, that there's a church at Lighthouse Baptist Church that he can come and bring his family to. Long after we're all gone, if the Lord tarries, amen, that there's a church here still standing, still preaching the King James Bible, still preaching the gospel, because there were faithful people who came before him. That is the truth of this morning's message. That is the truth of what you're going to see this afternoon. The importance of investing your life into the life of somebody that's coming behind you, somebody that's next to you today. Timothy, don't let it stop with you. And church, listen, God is saying the same thing to us today. Don't let it end with you. Wouldn't it be a tragedy that yours is the last generation to be Christian in your family? Let me wrap it up, we're done. When Paul looked here toward the end of his life, the greatest concern, folks, wasn't himself. It was the future of the truth. He was concerned on who would carry it next, who would teach it next, who would defend it next, who would pass it on next. And the answer was discipleship. Somebody taught you. Somebody must be able to trust you. Somebody needs you, folks. Listen, somebody is depending on you. So let me ask you a few questions this morning and we're done. Listen, who invested in your life? Have you ever thanked God for them? Have you ever thanked them? Listen, are you still teachable? Are you still malleable in your heart that God can show you some things? Listen, are you still growing? Are you still hungry for God's word? Can God trust you? Are you faithful? We're not asking, folks, if you're perfect. We're asking, are you faithful? Who is it that you're investing in? This morning, if I asked you to write down the name of one person you're intentionally helping to grow, could you do it? One person, one life, one disciple. Folks, because that is how God changes the world. One life at a time. You know, maybe this morning God is speaking to some parents here. Let me encourage you, folks, your children need you. Maybe this morning God is speaking to some of us older believers. Let us be reminded that the next generation, the younger generation, they need you. They need us. Maybe he's speaking to some new believers. You need to go out of your way and you need to find someone who can help you to grow. You need to find that. You need to reach out. You need to find the one that God is tapping on the shoulder for you. Maybe he's speaking to some of us who have been comfortable just receiving. And God says, you know what? It's time to start teaching. It's time to start investing into eternity, church. It's time to start discipling someone, investing into somebody's life. In just an hour or so, probably an hour and 5 minutes, most of us will sit down and watch this movie, The Forge. And what you're going to see is not just a movie. You're going to see a picture of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, come practically alive before your very eyes. You're going to see what happens when one believer decides to invest into another believer's life. You're going to see what happens when somebody says, I'm not going to let it stop with me. Church, please, let's determine today that the truth is not going to stop with us. Let's be faithful to pass it on to others also. The things that thou hast heard of me, commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the people who invested in us this morning. Thank you, Lord, for, we probably haven't thanked you before, for the people that helped us to grow and to mature and to grow in Christ's likeness. Thank you, Lord, for them. We thank you for pastors and teachers and parents and friends and faithful believers who passed your truth on to us. Help us to be faithful with what we have received. Help us to remain teachable. Help us to remain faithful and help us to remain willing to invest in others. Father, we pray that you'd give us a burden for the next generation and help us to intentionally help others to grow in their walk with you. And Father, I pray that this church might be known not only for preaching the book and the blood and the blessed hope, but for passing the truth on. And Lord, should you tarry for another 50 years, let there be a sign that still says Lighthouse Baptist Church in front of this building. When most of us are gone home to glory, that there may be believers passing on truth to others in this place, because in the here and in the now, the things that we heard of thee, that we have committed to faithful people who were able to teach others also. Lord, this is our heart's desire. And this we commit to you in Jesus' precious name. And all of God's people said, Amen.